When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael Ebon II, and with me, as always, is...
Just Sesame. Yeah, there you go.
Just Sesame?
Just Sesame, like Just Jen?
Yes.
Just Sesame.
Yes. So, speaking of which... Today on the show, we are covering two episodes of She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
Yeah, not just one, two episodes.
Yes. So it'll be twice as woke.
Woke boy's going to strike a lot in this one.
Yeah, maybe. probably not. He doesn't
woke
have to.
Woke boy strike, yeah.
He's gone into retirement. No, I'm joking. No. He's gone off to a retreat with Emil Blonsky.
that's the second episode, but yeah.
Oh yeah. So the first episode is episode 6, which is entitled Just Jen, and it was directed by Anu Valia. And written by Kara Brown. Be either way.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be something completely different, and that would be weird. Like, maybe she just pronounces her name as Phyllis.
Yeah,
but it's spelled like Kara.
That would be like a mind fuck right there.
Yeah. But, I think I'm going to do that. I'm just going to keep my name spelled like Michael. But I'm going to pronounce it like Charles.
I wonder if there's like a legal gray area where you could actually do that. I don't know. I'd have to look into the laws about spelling versus pronouncement. Because I can understand like certain names where like it's spelled a certain way and you could sort of tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like let's say if your name is spelled Michael, but then you say... Your name is Anubis,
that's,
you know,
really,
I mean?
Weird. Yeah. But if I was like, I was like, I wanted it pronounced Mikkel or something.
Right.
You know, that'd be different.
Interesting. You know, maybe I'll look into that since now we're watching a law show.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of revamped my interest in law.
Here's the thing I want you to do between this episode and the next episode we record.
Okay.
I want you to go to law school.
Okay, in a week, all right.
And get your degree.
I mean, I'm pretty sure with, like, admissions, I can't even go into a class within the next week.
I want you to pass the bar in the next week.
How about this? How about I'll do all the studying and then take my own test that would be the bar and then pass that, but it wouldn't be considered passing the bar because I didn't actually... And you can actually film me... taking a test so you know that I didn't cheat, you know, or I could tell myself.
Or what you could do is just get in your car and drive past a bar. And then you can say, I passed the bar.
I guess. Yeah, I could do that too.
Yeah.
That would be the easier way, but...
Yeah, that'd probably be the easier way. or you just walk by the, you know, you're at the grocery store and you're not tempted to buy a Snickers bar because you passed the bar.
Yeah,
that works.
Hey, you know, we live in the world of the MCU now where...
Yeah, anything's possible.
Anything's possible. Mm-hmm. And also, anything's possible now in our world, too, now where mermaids are supposed to be translucent, where you can see their skulls and you know, and all that stuff. So, and
I found out that tweet was actually done as a joke.
I don't think it was. I think...
No, the thing is, the original idea of it was, and then other people ran with it and took it seriously.
Who, with Matt Walsh?
Yeah, he took it seriously, but the original person who posted it, like somebody tweeted it out online,
and then
as satire, and then somebody took it seriously, and thought, well, that makes sense scientifically, so I'm going to go with that. And then a bunch of people...
Oh my god, that makes it even worse. Okay, and then, if you're not following up on the Culture Wars, which, congratulations, because it's like, sucks all the energy out of you, and,
Yeah, I kind of just like ignored it this week. I know there's there's something about a classically trained flutist playing a flute that is somehow wrong. Yeah. But there's
a culture war theme every week, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and then, exactly. Then, flautist. I'm sorry, not flutist.
Well, you can say both. It's fine. Yeah. But
you know, she was classically trained, and but it's wrong
because you know, like. Musicians never ever change their like training to do like what they do ever, like, you know, like no classically trained person has ever gone off to become like a pop star. Oh wait, actually several have. Okay. And you know,
and it's, you know, people don't just change, you know their original intention in entertainment either, like, you know, I mean, It's great, all the Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch albums that we've had in the last, you know, 30 years.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, it's a good thing that, you know, we talked him out of becoming an actor.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, like, what I'm saying is that, you know, just because you start out in one field doesn't mean you, you know. And the thing is he could go back to rapping if he wanted to, and it's okay.
Yeah, could you imagine, the timeline shift if he just stayed with that band? Well, probably they only would have had, like, one other record anyway.
Yeah.
And then, he would have just been, like, a regular dude or whatever. But we wouldn't have all the great movies. Like, we've got, you know, Daddy's Home or whatever it's called, or Daddy's Coming. I don't know what it was called. Daddy's Here.
Daddy's, part one. Daddy's Home 1 and 2.
Is that what it was? Okay. Yeah. Part one and two. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have Shooter, which is actually a decent one. Wouldn't have Fear. That one's a good one.
Yeah.
That one's pretty scary. I mean, it's called Fear.
And then we'd live live in a world where we actually respected the better actor in the family, Donnie. But anyway, so
whoa.
I'm not gonna go there. Let's get off the Wahlbergs. Anyways,
so... Blue Bloods? Are you talking about Blue Bloods?
I'm just saying, in general, he's a better actor than.
But you talk about the guy in Blue Bloods,
yes,
though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's a better actor.
Too. Yeah, he's a much better actor. So the first episode here, Just Jen. I'm gonna like break it down really quick. First off, I wanted to know, what did you think of that episode?
Just Jen. That was I don't know, I'm kind of split a little bit. I like the whole wedding thing, you know, like, oh, like,
yeah,
this is an inconvenient, you know, episode for like the middle of the season, but that's, you know, how weddings are, or inconvenient or whatever, you know,
yeah,
type of thing.
Which is on purpose, I think, that they did.
I thought that was, you know, kind of funny. And then,
yeah,
I did like the whole, like, you know, she actually shows up as She-Hulk, but then her friend who's getting married wants her to become Jen because she doesn't want She-Hulk getting all the attention and all this kind of stuff, you know. And then she meets this, you know, nice guy,
yeah,
ostensibly, you know, who likes her as Jen, whereas you know, just
Jen,
when she was going on dates with She-Hulk, you know, all these guys were just either like fetishizing her for being like, you know, like a superhuman with like who looks different, or you know, wanted just to say they could be on a date with a superhero, or also just have like a fetish because, you know, she looks different.
Yeah.
Which again, I liken that to like some people who like will have a fetish like for certain like different racial groups, which I know they, it's not a direct parallel, but I could sort of see that kind of, you know,
it's a decent like, meta. It's a decent metaphor.
I'm saying like, I know they weren't going all in on that, but like, cause they even did mention someone having the fetish. So like in one of the episodes, like, so, you know, I think that was Todd, the one that was like really creepy about like your blood, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And like, like, I got some vibranium I can test it or something, like whatever. And then, so she, she meets this dude, you know, ostensibly nice guy. And we'll find out either way, you know, in the next episode, whether that's true, who just likes her just as Jen, just as herself. And so that, like, I like that aspect of it too, to like actually see Jen smile like sincerely, like actually be happy as part of herself, not just as the She-Hulk.
Which makes things all the more sadder when we get to the next episode.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, I liked that episode too. I think it was a good diversion. I did kind of see what happened in this week's episode coming.
Abby too.
It just seemed too convenient. But anyways, in that episode, in Just Jen, basically what we have is Jen is invited to be the bridesmaid at her old friend Lulu's wedding. When she arrives, like as you were saying, however, she is disappointed to find that Lulu wants her to present herself as Jen and not She-Hulk. And because she just basically wanted to be the cool one at the thing for a change.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, you know, it's like this girl that you went to high school with, who you're not really that good of close of friends with, she's saddling her with all these like pre-wedding duties all of a sudden. Which I'm like, I would have been like, screw you.
Oh, yeah, because the staff basically quit on her because of how they're treating them. So... yeah, she was just having...
like a bridezilla.
all of her bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like she was giving her all of, like the nastier tasks. Like just the, I don't know, best with her or whatever. And then,
And it's almost like, it's almost like, you know, did you invite her just for this purpose? Like, you know, that's what I'm wondering.
Well, that's why I'm starting to wonder if it was just a way of like a power move, power play or something. Because it didn't seem like they were really good friends. And then, and it also too, not, I don't want to give anyone any ideas, but like the actress who played her the bride is transgender. So I bet you all the woke, any anti woke people probably hopefully they haven't figured that out yet, but they probably have.
Because, she is. I did not realize that.
The woman from like I Think You Should Leave, you know, she's been in that, you know, a few episodes of that. Yeah, she's a, you know, transgender actor. Like, she doesn't, like, make that, like, a big part of her, like, identity.
I mean, I had seen her in other things. I just never knew that she was and never
hopefully no one will notice. Then they'll be like, oh, you see, they're trying to, you know, and then, you know, and that'll be a whole other thing. You know, now they're going to try to make She-Hulk fall in love with their trans best friend, and then they're gonna get married and you know, and all this kind of stuff or whatever. So who knows? And then
hopefully they don't. I actually don't think they noticed that, because I haven't seen any mention of that, which is
good, because like the 30 people who listen to us, maybe they won't care. So then, like, you know,
hey, we're up to 31. No, I'm joking. Well,
hey, I always wonder about that too. I thought about this for years actually. Like when you start a YouTube channel or whatever, like how do the first people
find you?
Who like find you? Like that's what I always understand. Cause I understand like once you get Millions, like, for example, like Hasan Piker, because we were just talking about.
Yeah, like, when it comes up in your algorithm and your suggestions, it makes sense. But,
who's the first person, and how did that become the first person? You know, I've always wondered just how that works, you know, but, like, it's just interesting. And it'd be kind of cool
if there was a way for me to track it down, I would, to figure out who our first listener was. But, I mean, it was probably me.
Whenever I do my mashups, I'm usually the first person to listen to them, and then
instead
one or two views or whatever, you know. And but hey, I'm up to 122 views now, my latest one, and probably like 20 of them are mine. But more like 10. But like, but anyway, yeah, I wonder if she just saddled her with that as like a power move.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she was like I get the feeling that, like, they might have been friends in high school, but not necessarily, like, you know, good buddies sort of thing, you know?
So. Yeah, and plus, too, we kind of, in the next episode, there might be some intimations about that when she says something in a therapy session. We'll talk about that later. Her groomsman is actually a dog named Jonathan. Like a tiny little dog. So again, that just all seems like intentional, you know. And then, let's just find a way to humiliate her, you know, as much as possible, you know. And then, of course, it's a cash bar. Just again, show how not sleazy. What's the word? Just like selfish this person is. Like, can't even have an open bar at your wedding. You gotta have a cash bar, you know, so people gotta pay for their own liquor, you know. Like,
yeah, it's like I've been DJing weddings lately, and I have yet to be the one that had a cash bar.
Well, it's just seen as good manners, you know. People are coming there, they're taking time out of their day, they're getting dressed up, you know. It just seems like good manners to, you know, if they want to drink, you know, they don't gotta pay for it. They already had to pay probably for a suit, or at least get.
I mean, I've been to one that was like a dry wedding, but you know, that's different.
Well, yeah, that's different. Yeah. You know,
there wasn't even soda at it. It was all lemonade, water, and tea. So
okay, So I mean, that's different too. But like, I mean, I liked it. That was pretty much the whole episode. Really, nothing really happened besides.
Well, there was a big fight in the middle. Basically. Titania was there somehow. She was invited to the wedding.
Well, because she was, quote, dating one of the groomsmen.
Yeah, or really. Something. Yeah, she probably got her way in there. And then she's still pissed off about the whole stuff that happened in the previous episode where she lost the rights to the name She-Hulk. And so she's got the whole, you know, axe to grind, and she's saying that she won't, but then she basically makes it so Jen has to Hulk out and fight her. So there's a big fight at the wedding reception. So you know how it happens, because you know there's always one of those at a wedding reception.
Well, yeah.
Every wedding I've DJed, there's been a She-Hulk there. It's
well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you know.
I mean, like.
Once, there was an Ant-Man there. It was weird. But, no, I'm joking.
so far, we see Titania in three episodes.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, I hope that she'll be in, you know, more.
A misdirect. I don't think she's going to be the ultimate bad in the show.
No, I don't mean I'm hoping she'll actually end up helping her out.
Yeah, me too.
Like last moment or something, you know, because again, I'm starting to wonder, like, this is sort of like an aside here really quick, but like, so like we've had the MCU since 2008, and like all of a sudden within like the last like 5 months or so, it seems that like we're just being told, oh yeah, there's all kinds of people now with superpowers that have always existed that nobody's ever talked about in the MCU universe. Like, Like, it just seems weird to me.
For example, the B plot of this episode was where Nikki and Mallory were taking care of another case.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, with a character played by David Pasquazi, my Facebook friend. He's a really good guy. playing Mr. Immortal, a guy that had all these different marriages and he would fake his death to get out of the marriages. but he's lived for like, you know, centuries. So it's, yeah. So obviously he's been around forever and nobody's mentioned him. But then again, his power is that he can't die. It's not like really that convenient of a power. Like if you need to save the world, it's just basically like, okay. Well, I mean, you can, it is something cool. Like you can, you know, like Deadpool, for example, like has, you know, healing and stuff and he can help save people. But it's just like, you know, this guy's kind of a selfish guy. So obviously he's not going to help people.
Yeah. Like he's just like, he literally just fakes his own death to get out of marriages. But also changes his identities, which is like a crime, you know, an actual criminal offense now. And then,
and he was married to several women and at least one guy over
at least one dude. So, yeah. And they all like found out about him, I guess. And then he just jumped out the window out of the office when they were kind of making like, you know, Mallory and
Nikki were,
kind of like both kind of just like, talking against them, and he's like, oh, I thought you're supposed to be on my side and not judge me. He's like, no, we're just supposed to represent you. It doesn't matter.
See, I still don't know if I trust Mallory Book yet. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know yet. I mean, I think it's cool, but like, it might just be because I've read in the comic book she ends up being a like antagonist to She-Hulk. So, yeah, it's like, I still don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're going to bring it up in this series or not, but you know, if there's going to be anything, but. It'd be interesting to see if she has anything to do with anything, but I doubt it. But basically, so we have that going on, and then he ends up having to, you know, pay some money, but also have to, like, sincerely apologize to people and stuff like that. That's basically where that story went. Yeah. That was kind of a funny little side story.
Which he can't do. But again, that just, like, for me, though, it's like, how are we now just finding out about these people, like nobody knew about these people before, like, or just didn't talk about, I just don't understand.
Well, I think a lot of it is too, that some of these people were just hiding the fact that they were like this, or it was like just there and they weren't like, you know, it wasn't, maybe it was just like an accepted thing, but we didn't really, they weren't like superheroes. They were just people with superpowers or special powers. I'm just saying, yeah.
But like we were never told that those kind of people existed before. I don't know. Maybe it was just because they didn't have the rights to do that back then or something. Somehow.
Yeah, but I mean, we did have situations where there were a lot of people that, in like, if they decide whether or not Agents of Shield is canon or not, there were a lot of people in there, like inhuman type people and stuff like that. So. There were people with powers in the world, so
yeah. So it could have just been like a legal thing of them not being allowed to talk about mutants, or at the very least.
Plus, it's also you don't want to introduce people, because then you get in the situation where it's something like where it's like you. It's still even kind of difficult for me to understand, like when you're watching like stuff like in the Arrowverse or even in the MCU, where you've established these other characters and there's like this world shattering event, but only the Flash can take care of it.
Right.
You know,
because
it's like, but you know, he knows Supergirl. Why doesn't she, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or like in the MCU, it's like only Ant-Man can take care of this situation, but you know, why isn't, you know, Hawkeye helping out or something, you know, it's like,
because they're all doing their own stuff. I'm like, but
you always have to like figure out a way to excuse it or just ignore it. You know, it's like,
it's just, very, very strange. But like, I don't know, who knows? Maybe they'll explain it. But to me, that's sort of just been nagging at me a little bit for a while now. It's just like, at least having the acknowledgement that like, okay, yeah, the Avengers are like their own superhero team, but there are other people who exist, who do have maybe super strength, superpowers, but just live regular lives. Like, we didn't
it's kind of like, it's kind of like the difference between like Lady Gaga and then the girl that sings at the bar every Friday. You know what I mean? It's like,
I do understand that. I'm just saying, like, I get that point too. I'm saying, like, maybe they're just not top tier enough to be able to, but like, these people do exist, but we didn't even get that prior to, like, I don't even know, maybe just a few months ago, it seems like, where, like with Ms. Marvel, where we're realizing, like, oh no, there's actually other people out here who have powers, and just for whatever reason, they just don't use them, or they don't.
And it could just be that, you know, they're all coming out of the woodwork, and it's just also, like, I just think a convenient thing for the MCU to have not mentioned other people, because they don't want us to think, hey, there's some guy in Hoboken who has superpowers, but there's all these people fighting in New York City,
Exactly, because that's the other thing, too. So it's like the Battle of Earth. So, like, why weren't all, like, why wasn't Titania there to help out, you know, and or, you know what I mean? Like, all these other people who have powers are just like, we'll just let the Avengers take care of this world battle that literally can, like, you know, change the tides of history. Like,
or like, maybe there was just some kind of thing where they're like, there was an unsaid understanding that you can't really help unless you are an Avenger.
But they had a lot of other people fighting too.
It's like Dave Grohl can attend a Coldplay concert, but it doesn't mean he has to get up on stage and play.
You're right, though. It's probably just a convenience, because they need to introduce more characters, because the Avengers are pretty much are disassembled at this point. Like, they're half of them have, well, not half, but two of them have died. One of them went back in time,
and after the blip, things are getting a lot worse too. And you know, and it could be that people are kind of coming out of the woodwork now, because they're like, hey, you know, maybe it's my time to step up and help out, or my time to step up and be a bad guy, you know, or whatever. So
It could be very much be something like that. So, like, I just, like, it seems like Phase 4 is very, very unique, and it seems like it's good.
It's still a little bit more disjointed than the others.
It is. Yeah. It is. That's the point I'm trying to make. And that might be, you know, I mean, we're talking about the multiverse, so that's going to be kind of confusing, and, you know, and
yeah, because it'll be interesting too, because, like, this week we got the announcement about Deadpool 3, and that Logan's going to appear in it, you know, Wolverine. So,
but it's not going to be, obviously, it's not going to be Hugh Jackman, right?
It's Hugh Jackman.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah, no, they you should look it up. There's an announcement for it, and then a follow-up question and answer thing, like, really quick thing with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman.
Oh, okay. I thought they said, maybe I misread. I thought maybe they said that it technically the X-Men movies aren't canon within this.
They aren't yet, but this is supposed, but they do say that this is Deadpool's first inclusion into the MCU officially.
Right, okay, gotcha. All right.
So, and he's technically an X-Man, so, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, that's pretty
cool. But yeah, but Hugh Jackman came out of retirement to play Logan one last time, so.
All right, that's pretty, yeah.
You should check out the videos. They're your typical Ryan Reynolds funny, so. Back to that first episode, we do have the situation where also there's an Intelligentsia message board, which is maintained by an individual known as Hulk King. There are also scientists working for Hulk King who have been spying on Walters and plan another attempt to steal a blood sample from her following the wrecking crew's failure in a previous episode. So we got that going on. So that's basically what happened in that episode. And now on to 7, really quick. We got, which is called The Retreat. again directed by Anu Valia, this time written by Zeb Wells. And that aired September 29th. So in this episode, what did you think of that one?
This one is actually my favorite episode so far of the season.
Me too.
I really, really like this one. Because it's very, very personal, very vulnerable episode. Of course, you know, the...
I have one major gripe with it, but other than that, I liked it a lot.
So, okay. Yeah. The anti-woke is probably going to hate this one. But, like, this one was just very... I don't know. It was just very, you know, maybe the idea of just being at a retreat. So, basically, it's like Jen goes on a retreat. That's, like, the baseline, I guess, of the... And then we can get into more detail, but that's, she goes on a retreat and basically like is able to sort of like
find
express
herself.
Feelings that she's been sort of suppressing and stuff like that. And, you know.
So basically what we got going on here, I mean, I liked it. I had one gripe that I'll get to as we go through the episode.
Okay.
But anyways, we've got we're starting out and, Jen is going on several dates with Josh that we met in the previous episode, the nice guy at the wedding. She ends up, after a few dates, ends up sleeping with him, and then he completely ghosts her. She sent a text to him saying that, you know, that was fun, I can't stop smiling, and everything, which was good. So... Anyways, she keeps waiting for him to text back, and she eventually has to, she gets a phone call from Blonsky's parole officer, who's named Chuck Donnellan, and he informs her that the inhibitor had stopped, the inhibitor that will stop Blonsky from turning into the abomination has somehow stopped working. So they have to go to his meditation retreat area that was given to him by his seven soulmates. and check on him. Shortly after they arrive, they realize that there was probably like an electrical current that happened when he was trying to save a chicken from getting electrocuted on an electric fence. His favorite chicken, like, what was it, like, something?
It was Princess something.
Princess something feather or something, yeah.
Yeah, something feather.
Yeah.
Chicken, which I'm not sure if I trust if that was true or if he...
That's what I'm saying. I wonder if he did turn into Abomination and, yeah. Because I still don't know if I trust him, if he might be... Because who knows who this Hulk King is. Because that's not a character from the comic books. It's just, you know, there is King Hulk, but that's a different.
That's a whole different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's also Hulk Ling, but that's still a different character completely.
And plus, Hulk technically has a son, and that's why I'm starting to wonder if that's why he went back into space is to.
Oh, I think they're setting it up for World War Hulk. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
They got to be. Yeah. Because. I believe that the rights to do a standalone Hulk movie revert back to Disney pretty soon. So
okay,
yeah, because currently Universal has the rights. That's why he can appear as a secondary character and only be on screen for a certain percentage of the time of a movie. So that's why we only see him in like Avengers movies or in cameos and other, you know, in like Shang-Chi and stuff like that. Is because he he's only appeared so much in She-Hulk because they couldn't like just do a like Hulk TV series or a Hulk movie standalone because they don't have the rights to that yet.
Oh, I see.
But they do have an agreement that he can be a guest star in other people's projects. So,
I mean, they made like five Avengers films, so it's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I mean, his screen time equals his own movie, but he just hasn't been in his own movie, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
since the one with Edward Norton, which was made by Universal and Marvel at the time, but that was before Disney owned Marvel, so it's a it's legal gobbledygook.
Yeah,
stuff that Jen Walters could take care of. But anyways, so they while she's on this retreat place, whatever compound, she arrives there and Agula,
yeah,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Man-Bull are fighting and they accidentally destroy her car. Her Prius Prime. I'm gonna say that again. Her Prius Prime. This is my only other, I got two nitpicks of this episode.
Okay.
That whole scene was like a Prius Prime advertisement, I swear. It wasn't really, but I'm just saying she said the name of the car like three fucking times in that scene. Oh, and I'm just like, is this like product placement? Like what's going on? Probably.
Yeah. Like, didn't they do that with what movie where they kept like, it was like the Hawaii 5-0 where the guy like described like the Subway sandwich.
Chuck, they do that too, like because Subway paid for production of some Chuck episodes, and they ended up having to like have all their like lunch scenes take place at a Subway and stuff for a little bit.
Yeah,
There's
like an episode of Hawaii 5-0, like the newer one.
Yeah,
that's been canceled for a while, but like where like one of the dudes, like the bald guy, he was like. Like literally just like describing the sandwich like the way you would like in a commercial. It was effectively like a commercial for Subway within the episode.
Yeah, they have to get more creative sometimes with advertising and shows, and plus if they're gonna subsidize the budget of the show, they're gonna definitely do that. Some of the production cost of Friday Night Lights was paid by Applebee's, and in the script for the show, they were just hanging out at a local, restaurant or something like that. But they changed it to Applebee's in like every episode of that show. They were hanging out at Applebee's.
Yeah, we're going to the bees again, guys, to celebrate. Man-Bull and Al Aguilar, like D-list Marvel characters.
I like them both. I love them both so far.
Oh, me too. Yeah. But just like. Mm-hmm. I love how they're introducing like such low tier.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, like in the previous, Mr. Immortal isn't really that well known either. So
no, he's not. I mean, I never heard of him until, but he did say his first wife was Baroness Cromwell.
Yeah,
and I looked into that, and that could be a character in Marvel. Yeah,
there was a character from what's the British? There's like a British, basically like Captain America character, like Captain Britain or something. I don't know what he is, but anyways, I think those comic books that character originally appeared in. So yeah, there's possibility that they were dropping a seed there for that. But anyways, basically her car is destroyed, so she's kind of stuck in this, stuck there until it can be towed away, and she has no cell coverage or cell reception or internet coverage there, at all. So she can't do any work, and she's trying to check her phone all the time for Josh's like text back that he's never going to give. So she's keeps nervously awaiting her responses from Josh. And while there, she ends up, finding this one little area with some cell reception in this building, but Emil Blonsky's got this little therapy group going on there, and he's got Man-Bull and El Aguilar there, along with a character named Porcupine, and a character named Saracen, who is a vampire in the comic books. But in this, they say he thinks he's a vampire.
Mm.
So okay. I don't know what that means. But
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And Porcupine is basically a guy that wears a suit that makes him look like a porcupine.
So he's not like an actual...
I don't know if he has any...
So some of these people are people who actually like have like issues, but like other people just have like identity issues or like...
Possibly.
Or... Okay. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, because I don't think... I think like... Porcupine like fights in this suit but doesn't like have any supernatural powers or anything, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Whereas I could be wrong. Yeah.
Manbull does have like some kind of super strength, and now Aguila has
yeah
bioelectricity for a sword, which is pretty mm-hmm. cool.
And Manbull did say at one point, he says there was a lab accident, don't ask, or something like that. So
yeah, because that was pretty much his yeah. mm-hmm. backstory or yeah. whatever. Using bull serum or something like that, or and then he's a very, very D-list character, because like I looked him up and it was like they'd have him in a few issues and then like 12 years would go by before they put him into another issue, and then like they would do the same thing again like another 12 years would go by. So he's like a very minor
character. Yeah.
But like he has run afoul of like Spider-Man, some of like the main
yeah
like Iron Man, I think, at one point, too, and stuff like that. And She-Hulk, I think, as well. So maybe that's why.
Yeah. That's cool, though.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
So, anyways, she ends up, while she's in there, this guy comes in who had been like, in a yurt, like, meditating. And Jen notices that it's Wrecker from the Wrecking Crew, who tried to capture her blood outside of her apartment the one time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, they end up going to blows a little bit there. She throws him into some chairs that were neatly stacked. And by Manbull. Yeah. So that upsets him
very,
a little.
He's very upset about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they end up having, like, what happens here? They got, like, therapy session going on. What happens in the session?
Yeah, I mean, it's a group therapy, you know, group therapy. Emil's, like, basically, like, their guru, kind of, sort of, not really. And he's just, like, you know, asking, you know, Jen to join, you know, the session. And
she does, yeah.
She does eventually, and she goes into this really, just really vulnerable dialogue, you know, about how, you know, everybody, because she mentions too about like, you know, you remember that friend from high school who was like way cooler than you, and, you know, and all this stuff, and like everybody liked them, and then she kind of just motions to herself as She-Hulk, you know, like that's how people see her, and then, you know, saying that, like, you know, she can become this person, you know, whenever she wants to, but then it feels kind of like cheating, because, like, you know, if she didn't have that ability, would people still like her, you know, as Jen, not knowing that she wouldn't be able just to become She-Hulk at mm-hmm. will whenever she felt like it. And then, you know, she was saying, you know, that she met this guy at a wedding, you know, who, you know, I'm not crying, by the way. I've, like, literally got, like need to blow my nose in a minute. But, like, and then,
yeah, so what we end up having is, like, they, you know, she's rejected and ghosted by this guy, so it's hurting her. So
all the guys are like, who is this guy? We're going to kill him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they broke Jen's heart, you know, like all chivalrous, you know, and like,
yeah. Yeah, and El Aguilar says my favorite quote in the episode. He says, "It hurts when someone rejects us because it reminds us of the times we reject ourselves."
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Which is pretty deep. I also want to point out the fact that on the wall behind Blonsky in the scenes, because I just saw a picture from it. There's a sign on the wall that says Obama Stay.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
A combination, so like, combination of abomination and namaste. So, yeah.
It's interesting because that could mean he's probably start like some kind of cult for superheroes. Plus, too, you know, this might be too esoteric, but like namaste, I think the literal meaning of that word means something like the God who lives within me bows to the God who lives within you. So if he's saying like Obamaste and he's got all of these like D-list like super villains or superheroes, is that like almost saying like since we're all like got like powers or whatever, or that we're all like bowing to each other, if you will, or whatever, you know, like, I don't know. And then, like, who knows, but like,
yeah, I mean, he does, you know, Emil's got very Keith Raniere vibes to him.
I really want, I really want to trust him and think, but like at the same time, it's like this whole thing with the whole MacGuffin of the show is they're trying to get her blood. Like that's been like since episode 3, I think.
Which brings me to my one nitpick of this episode.
Okay.
I know they're in a group therapy session here. And she forgave Wrecker for what he did.
Yeah.
There's no scene where she says, "Hey, by the way, who hired you to try to hurt me?"
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. That would have been a good
Yeah.
Yeah, that is
that's my biggest nitpick. I'm just like, why didn't she ask him? I mean, maybe she did and it just wasn't on screen, but it should have been. Even if his answer was I don't know, they just paid me a lot of money, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that would have been something.
Because all we get are these weird like things in the lab and people like never really. And then,
but they could have easily written it with even if he was lying about it, just a scene. All they needed in there was a dialogue between the two of them, two lines of dialogue where she just says, "Hey, who hired you to hurt me?" And he's like, "I don't know."
See, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah. Is that I'm really worried that Emil is the one behind this. Hopefully.
I know.
Hopefully not, because I really want him
to be reformed, to
turn over a new leaf. Yeah. And plus, we saw him in Shang-Chi. You know, you think Wong, with, you know, being a master of the mystic arts,
could somehow see into his soul or something.
It doesn't just mean you're good at sorcery. It kind of, you've got spiritual knowledge, or just you could sort of tell if someone is decent or whatnot. And so I would think that maybe he was the one that was originally maybe pushing him in that direction of being more mindful and stuff, and then he kind of just took it and went his own way with it. Hopefully,
yeah,
it's not going to be that he's still looking for that Hulk blood, you know, because that would just be so derivative, you know. Like, but
I mean, I could see him maybe being part of the plan, but I don't think he's the mastermind.
I hope he's not.
I hope not either, but I don't think he's the, you know, I could see him being a thug for hire or something, but other than that, which I hope not either, but I'm just saying that if they're going to do some kind of heel turn on this, but the, basically throughout this, this group session there, though, they end up convincing Jen that the best thing for her to do is to delete Josh's contact information from her phone.
Yeah.
And to, you know, get rid of her feelings for him and just basically kind of move on and, you know, as Elsa says, let it go.
Exactly.
And something that people that complain about this show should do. Anyway, so
just let it go.
Yeah.
It's not your show. It's fine.
It wasn't made for you.
Yeah.
And so, but then at the end of the episode, because Jen ends up, you know, the tow truck arrives and she ends up leaving after getting a nice card from the group. And, saying that they love both her and She-Hulk. And, we do a flashback here where it's revealed that 3 days earlier, Josh had secretly cloned her phone and copied everything from it. And supposedly stole a sample of her blood. They didn't really show that, but it was kind of implied in the texting.
Somehow.
Yeah.
And then I do remember, though, it did seem like it was very subtle, but I do think at one point, Jen was like kind of like feeling her neck a little bit with her hand. And I don't know if that was just like a nervous tick, but maybe that was a hint, maybe. What's that?
Or an actress character choice just for whatever. You know, I don't know. It depends.
Yeah, you know, but it did seem like she was like feeling something but you think you would notice like, you know, some kind of like a shot or, you know what I mean?
I mean, it just depends on how small the thing is. And plus, I mean, if you're out like a light and somebody takes your blood, you might not notice it, you know?
Well, I guess that's true too.
Yeah.
And,
and then he took a creepy picture of her laying in bed.
Yes, I didn't know if that was for like maybe the intelligentsia site or
if they're going to try to slut shame her or do something or
whatever, just like proof that he was there, you know, for his bosses or whoever, you know, like I don't know, but or he could be what they call hate monger because that's supposed to be a character who's like super incel type dude, you know, like this is before the incel movement was, you know, around, but like kind of that, you know, that vibe, you know, hate women, you know, type of.
I think I figured out who Hulk King is, actually, though.
Who do you think it is?
Ben Shapiro. No, I'm joking.
Okay. Wait, Ben Shapiro as a character is in the show now?
I'm just joking.
They should have to change his name to like Shabibo or Shabibi or Benny Boy or, you know.
It's Shen Bapiro. And who knows what's going on here, but I'm really hope that the Hulk King payoff is a good payoff. And I mean people online are so stupid, they're like, oh, I watched it again and there's no Daredevil.
Yeah, I know. He's probably going to show up at like the last episode.
Yeah, and it's like they're getting like angry about it. Like they're just tricking me into watching a show.
No, they're not. That's okay.
If you want Daredevil, there's a whole like 3 seasons of a TV series that you can watch with him in it.
But dude, every show does that. That's the whole point of Cliffhanger. Like that's how they get you to keep watching.
People are just like so angry about this, like it's destroying their lives. And I'm like, you know, it's a TV show, right?
Like do something else with your time, you know.
Like I said, if you really want to see Daredevil, there's plenty of it out there. There's shows and a mediocre movie. And
Ben Affleck,
which I actually like, but I'm not gonna die on that hill. Because I've actually fought with people about that movie being good, and because I really like it. So
I never saw it, so yeah. I don't know.
I haven't seen it in years, but when it was out, I remember getting into big fights with people. I did a thing. I did a thing at the university where I showed it. I was the president of the Film and Video Society there, and I showed it in a double feature with The Crow. It was like 2 comic book movies in a night.
Oh wow!
And I did The Crow first, luckily, and we had a huge crowd for The Crow. And like when Daredevil played, we had like 3 people there.
Wow!
And I got in an argument with somebody later on about why I chose that movie, but yeah, it was just
wow.
Yeah. So anyways, but anyways, we're going to see Daredevil. I don't think it's going to be the last episode. I think we'll see him next week. That's my guess. I don't think they'll wait till the last episode. But again, if you're watching a show called She-Hulk and you want to see Daredevil, the show is called She-Hulk.
Yeah.
Not Daredevil.
Plus, too, they've already dedicated so much of the show, you know, to introducing other... I mean, we had Wong as main character in two episodes already, you know, and back-to-back, actually.
And I mean, it's like watching Frasier and being upset that Niles isn't in an episode.
Yeah, so it's like, if anything, She-Hulk, which is interesting because, you know, we're talking in the context of women and stuff like that. We have a show that's ostensibly dedicated to a woman character. And so far, she has her show has given so much time to other characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So, like, because there's this talk about, like, you know, women kind of being expected to make room for other people and stuff like that. Well, this show is literally doing that, and people are still complaining about it. It's like,
I mean, we have a whole episode here where, because people are like saying how it's anti-men. We have a whole episode here, The Retreat, where a group of men help Jen with her mental health issues.
Right. It's, I mean, like, they do pull the, like, chivalry card too much, but that's still, you know, because they...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if your issue is that men aren't being, you know, represented well on the show, here's your episode where they are.
What episode are they talking about that's supposed to be anti-men? I can't even...
Oh, they've said the whole series is. So, yeah.
Really? I can't hardly think.
Oh, I can't think of anything either, but of course...
I mean,
because
I thought of like a few throwaway lines,
they just think the whole show is woke and anti-men, which it's not.
Okay,
so,
whatever.
But you know, you gotta complain. They gotta complain about something. So,
I mean, yeah, there's been a few throwaway lines about like how, like, you know, even being a superhero, it's hard to find a decent date or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's like, it's like, you know, these anti-wokesters, I mean, I don't know what you'd call them, but, like, you know, they need us to take a leaf from their own book about, you know, like, stop looking for things to be offended by, stop, you know, it's like, all right, well, take your own advice, stop, like, zeroing in on like one throwaway line and then making that like the whole thing, you know, when it was just meant to be literally just a throwaway line, and then you're making it out to be like it's like the whole theme of that
toxic fandom where they want to complain about something. They doesn't matter. You could present to them the exact script. They could write the script and still complain about it.
They'd still be mad.
Yeah,
because it wasn't delivered correctly. They delivered it disrespectfully, just like how Lizzo, you know, apparently disrespected James Madison's flute that nobody knew existed until like yesterday, and then everyone's like, oh my god, a piece of Americana has been completely defiled by this black,
even in an issue where it's not even this anti-woke based type stuff, where I was reading something like earlier where when the Obi-Wan Star Wars show came out, people were complaining that it was too fast-paced and there wasn't enough character development. And now that Andor is out, they're complaining that it's too slow and too much character development.
Oh my god,
it's like,
guys.
You get exactly what you want here with another show, and you're complaining about... And these are the same people complaining. It's not, you know...
it's too woke, it's not woke enough, it's too fast, it's too slow, it's too much like the comic books. It's not enough like the comic books. It's like, you know, like, really, like, I like TV. I like movies. Sure. I mean, you know, our entire show is dedicated to reviewing them. But, like, you know, just do something else with your life, too. You know, find something else, you know, like, because when your whole life is just, you know, revolves around that, and then, you know, shows start coming out that you don't like or that you find offensive for some reason, you know, and you're like letting it like actually ruin your lives. Like in all sincerity, like seek counseling.
Don't watch it. Don't watch it.
Don't even be sarcastic. Yeah. Don't watch it or seek therapy. You know, if you can afford it, or maybe you can find it for free somehow. Again, not even being sarcastic about that. I'm like genuinely saying that.
Yeah,
like,
you should. And
there's some underlying issues going on of why there's so much anger in that these things are triggering you. Like, there's,
I mean, there's a normal there's an off button on your TV for a reason.
Yeah. Like, go for a walk, meditate. Meditate mm-hmm. for 20 minutes a day. You'll notice very quickly that it will create small changes, but those changes are definitely noticeable. And just don't care so much about, like, preserving what you think, like, the things are used to be or supposed to be or whatever. Just like live and let live. Like, it's okay. Like,
mm-hmm.
like you're still going to get your shows. Okay. Like, you're still going to get your man, you know, Rambo type movies, you know, where it's all about shooting people and like revenge. Cause again, you know, everyone's so obsessed with revenge. Like, that's like the only form of justice they think exists in the world is revenge. And it's like, well, revenge and justice actually aren't the same thing, but okay. Like, yes, it is. If someone kills your family member, then you have the right to go and kill their... No, that's not... That's vigilantism. That's, you know, that's not how, you know, justice works. Okay, and then, but, yeah, I don't know.
Unless you're Batman and you're in the Justice League and that is how it works, right?
Yeah,
but... I'm joking.
But then, like, there's, like, a moral story to that, too, of, like, how that can... Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I know. Yeah, because Batman can be very vengeful at times.
Yeah,
but he goes back and forth, just like how Arrow would go.
I know.
Like, I'm not gonna kill anymore. I'm just gonna maim and but then yeah. he'll go into like, now I'm gonna kill again, and he'll keep going back and forth, and you know, and like it's like, okay, dude, like pick a path, like, you know.
Yeah,
but I was going to say something else, too, and I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's not you. I was in the middle of my whole speech, and then I just, I was talking about the, because you were mentioning about the show's going too slow and all this yeah. kind of stuff. Just saying it, yeah, find something else to do, or heck, yeah. write your own story. That can be another thing, too. Like, you know, write your own comic book, or at least try to, and then get someone else to
do something creative it. Instead of destroying other people's work.
Yeah. I mean, that's more fun and more productive, and yeah.
Anyways, we're getting a little long here, so we should probably wrap things yeah. up. Any final thoughts here?
No, just I'm looking forward to the next episode, see what happens, and hopefully Daredevil will show up. Maybe he won't, maybe he will. We'll see.
I got
hopefully.
A feeling he's going to be in the next episode, at least at the end.
To maybe help her fight off
yeah.
maybe the new Wrecking Crew, or maybe Josh is going to show up with this huge vibranium needle probably, or something like that, or whatever.
Is that what they're calling it these days? Me. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that reminds me. Sorry, there was something I wanted to say earlier, and I forgot.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is beast, but even before my weird speech. No, so like, when, because she was sitting right next to the dude from the Wrecking Crew, and when they were trying to convince her to shrink down the gen, I was like, oh my God, I hope someone doesn't have a needle there.
Yeah, I saw it going one of two ways, the way it went. And then the other way was that everybody was going to like hold her down and get her blood or something, you know?
That's why I was yeah. so scared of that happening. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh no, like, don't do it. Like, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, anyways, folks, be good to each other. Remember that. That is the yeah. most important thing in the world. If we can just listen to each other and be good to each other and not be so negative and tear down, build something instead of tearing down others.
True.
Yeah. And check out our TeePublic. That'll help you out. Check out our Patreon. Check out all of our social media. Go to alltoreal2.com for all that. And remember, we love you, folks. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.